It is good to see everybody here this evening. I always do appreciate when people come back after I've preached on a Sunday morning. It makes me feel good, and I appreciate the comments from this morning. And we'll have another lesson this evening. And I hope and pray that it's encouraging to you, that it makes it beneficial that you've been here, and we'll glorify God together. This evening I'd like to talk about our need for a clean heart. After David had committed his sin with Bathsheba, he wrote in the Psalms 51 and 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." There is a lot to be said in just those few words. We need to have a clean heart. We need to have a right attitude, a proper spirit. We need to be able to approach God as He wants us to approach Him. There are so many people that live a life, and I know just because of the way they present themselves. They live a life of sin, and yet they say that they're Christians and that they do whatever things that they do so that they worship God. I used to date a young lady that did not believe in organized worship, and she rode horses, and she would worship God on horseback out at Benbrook Lake. I never could convince her to attend services, but just the idea that people have crazy ideas, crazy notions about how God wants to be approached. But we have to have a clean heart and a right spirit. So I want to understand that this lesson, when it might even be similar as it was this morning, it's still on a different pace because it wants us to change our inside and make ourselves presentable to God. Our heart is the foundation of our spiritual life. It tells us who we are, what we are, why we do the things that we are. Jesus talked about the heart. He taught about the heart. We are cautioned to protect our heart, to have the proper treasures in our heart, not the wrong treasures in our heart. So we need to understand that there is a specific way God wants us to come to Him. And it has to be on His terms. We are the ones that left Him. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, our sins have separated us from God. So if we're going to go back to God, we can't do it on our terms. Our terms is what separated us from God. We have to return to God on His terms. And the world won't listen to that. The world thinks they can go to God in whatever manner they please. There's a whole series of lessons there, and we'll save those for another day. But we have to know and understand what God wants. He searches our hearts. He looks into the inner man. After Judas had hung himself, and the disciples had met in the upper room, God chose Matthias by the casting of lots. And Peter prayed, "Lord, You that know the hearts of all men, show us whom You've chosen." He knows your heart like He knows my heart, like He knows Judas's heart, like He knows everybody's heart. He knows who we are, what our desires, our real desires are, as we talked this morning, needing true repentance. He knows if we're just making a show saying that we're sorry, or actually truly sorry that we did the things that we did. He knows the difference. Some people may say there is no difference, but there truly is a difference. Because people are sometimes sorry they got caught, not sorry they did what they did. God wants true repentance, so we have to have the right idea when we come to God. And purity of heart is essential. David said, "Create in me a clean heart." We have to come to God so we can have a clean heart. We have to come to God so that we can have that right spirit within us, because He will not accept falsehood. He will not accept mockery. He will only accept true believers that want to worship and serve Him. So, this evening I'd like to look at our need for a clean heart. Number one, who can say, I have cleansed my heart? If you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Solomon has a lot to say about the heart. In 20 and verse 9 he says, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. It's a rhetorical question because we know the answer. We cannot repay. We cannot make ourselves clean. If we could, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. If we could, He would have saved His suffering. He will not have to have left His home in glory and come down to this earth where all this vileness is. He wouldn't have had to suffer through all that if we could do it ourselves. Doesn't that give us some indication that once we have fallen, we can't climb back up to where we were? This is a one-shot deal. The first mistake, the first sin we commit, we're lost. And without Christ, we have no hope. But we have to understand that God loves us and wants us to have this hope, so He sent His Son because we can't do it ourselves. That's something for the young people to learn. That's something for the old people to learn. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's why there's such a need. But God's term says you must purify your heart to come back to me. The problem is, though, the heart can be exceedingly sinful. If you would turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You stop and think about it. Why did God make us so defective? Why did God make it so easy for us to sin? You ever had that question asked of you before? Well, you know what? We're made in the image of God. We were made, we're born perfect. We are born without sin. We were born so that we could serve God. Our choices. Think about it this way. Satan's a created being. Satan went up against God. Satan lost. But here is a being that was in the presence of God, that had no need for faith, that saw God in all of His glory, and yet he decided to go against. That's mentally deficient, isn't it? That's just stupid, isn't it? So even these created beings that have such, have more than what we ever will ever have on this earth, they still fall. And Satan has his demons. He has his army. So he's not the only one. But they're all in the presence of God. If I was in the presence of God, I'd like to think I have enough up here that I wouldn't go against God. But so many of them did. It doesn't make sense. We are in a lesser position. We're lower than the angels. We have to live by faith. We cannot live by sight. Satan and his demons, they live by sight. We have to live by faith. That's why God gives us an extra hand up. That's why He gives us help. Because we can see God in creation, but we can't see His glory. Be nice to have seen God's glory in Jesus Christ on the Transfiguration, wouldn't it? But even after all that, Peter still sinned. Think about that. So, don't sell yourself short. Don't be so hard on yourself because we make our own choices. It's not because we are so weak that we cannot help it. That's what people call weakness. We can't help. No, we can. Because God said there's a way to escape. There is a way that we don't have to sin. We just choose to neglect it. But, as it is, all have sinned. We quoted Romans 3:23. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7:20. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, is still saying the same thing that Paul said however many thousands of years later. In 7 and verse 20, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." That's showing how many people. Solomon, the wisest man that has ever been, did exactly what God told him not to do. He even told him what would happen if he did it. And I know you know what it is because I've used it in sermons before. But he said, "Don't chase foreign women. They will turn your heart away from me." And that's exactly what they did. But he still did it. He had a relationship with God that we won't have upon this earth. And he still did it. He had the wisdom that God gave him above and above and beyond all the people. And he still did it. If you read Ecclesiastes, you'll see where he searched for happiness and meaning of life and all these worldly things. And he finally said, "All is vanity. All is vanity, like chasing the wind." He said, "Serve God. That's the whole duty of man. That's where you'll find happiness. That's where you will find relief and stress relief and a perfect life on this earth, as perfect as it can be, is by doing the will of God." And the world will laugh at you, and they will never know the joy you can have on this earth. So we need to understand, we can't do this ourselves. We have to have help. And God has sent us His help in His Son. But we have to search and be diligent and trust in God that He will give us the tools to purify our hearts. That He will give us the understanding and the wisdom to follow His will and create in us a pure heart. Just a quick question. Does anybody have ever known someone that was just so vile and so filthy and so unashamed that they wonder how they can even exist? I've known too many people like that in my life. Of course, Paul said to stay away from folks like that because that influence, that one bad apple, is going to spoil the whole group. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump, as it were. We need to protect ourselves, protect our hearts, because we can't do it ourselves, but we need to search out for that new heart. We need to search to create this new heart within us. Our sins are heavy, and I talked about this a little bit this morning, but I want to go a little more in depth with it this evening. Turn to Psalm 38. Sometimes my lessons get crossed. I'm thinking of one thing and saying something else. But this is a very valid point. Listen to what the psalmist says here, 38 beginning of verse 3. "There's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long. For my loins are full of inflammation and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart." I ask you again today, have your sins ever weighed you down so much that this describes you? I got to ask you a question because it took a long time for me to come to this realization. Any kind of sin is grievous to God. Any sin in your life that goes against His will causes God to be angry, causes Him to be sad, causes Him to be mournful. In our present world today, sin is so minimized, it's actually glorified among the people. Our hearts are so inundated, our lives are so flooded with the idea that sin is okay, that it's a choice, that it doesn't matter to God, that sometimes it's hard to know what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes it's hard to understand what grieves the heart of God, because society has blinded us. It has calloused our hearts. We have to understand sin should wear us down. Sin should bother us in our lives. Sin should make us feel sick. And a lot of times sin is just overlooked and ignored. See the difference? See the problem? And when that sin is overlooked, when that sin is ignored, Satan has won. He has got his point across. It's like arguing with someone, not arguing, debating with somebody about sins that are accepted in this world today. And there's no arguing with a crazy person. 50 years ago, these types of sins would have never been thought of as protected by law. Now, there are things that I would have never dreamed of that are protected by law. Just the other day I heard, and I did not know this, that there's like 11 or 12 states that have legalized personal use of marijuana. Now, I've heard of the medical stuff. I know that there's a debate going on about that. But just for private, personal use. And it's legal. Who comes up with this stuff? It makes me wonder where the people are that put these people into office that do things like this. Back in 1972 with Roe versus Wade, who would have thought murder would have been legalized? Well, the Bible says not to kill, doesn't it? No. The Bible says not to murder. Death penalties for punishment is perfectly legal, and it was done under the Mosaic law for things a whole lot less offensive then than they are today. Does that make sense? If you have a rowdy child that you cannot control, the law says to put him to death. You catch someone in an adulterous situation, the law says you put them both to death. Today, someone commits adultery, they just get a divorce and go on to the next one. God's more strict than this country is or has ever been. Put that in the back of your mind. We talk about our founding fathers and how they had Christian ideals, and they did. I'm not dismissing that, but they were never as harsh as the law of God. Sin is what God sent His Son down to fight. And He has fought it, and He has won. We need to be in His army, in His kingdom. And to do that, we have to create in ourselves a clean heart. We must draw near to God, so we must purify our hearts. If you would, turn to James 4. James 4, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That right there should be a memory verse for everybody. That should be bumper stickers on the back of our car, tattooed on our foreheads, whatever, so we can see that every day. If we resist, we can beat Satan. That's a thought and a half, isn't it? Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Where am I at here? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We have to take that first step, don't we? God's not going to forgive us until we come to Him. Till we understand our wrongs and repent of those things. He continues, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. because of your sin. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Because we're going to get our just desserts if we don't change our way. We are going to get what God has promised us if we don't change our way. And it's as simple as that. You're either with Him or you're against Him. There is no in between. There is no gray area. There's no maybe I can get in. Maybe He'll grade on a curve. It doesn't work that way. It's pass fail. Either you are a Christian or you're not a Christian. It's as simple as that. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. What do you got to do? You have to humble yourself. We have to come to Him with hat in hand, saying, God, we have violated Your law. We're penitent of it. We don't want to do it again. We're seeking Your forgiveness. And that shows a clean heart. It doesn't show sins have been removed, at least not yet, but it shows a clean heart. A foul heart cannot ask God for that. An impure heart cannot go to God and be humble. Remember, God knows the hearts of all men. He knows if you're putting on an act or if you're truly sincere about what you're doing. And that's something we need to take to the grave with us. Because the minute we forget that, we can put on the actor's face. We can go on and play like we're doing it, but truly we know down deep in our hearts we're not. So we need to examine ourselves, Paul said, to see if we're in the faith. We need to keep look. We need to walk and be guarding of every step. We need to protect ourselves from the ways of the world. Because you look around and see what the world is, you can see that the world can be tricked into anything. And that's a scary thought. But we have to live in it. We have to deal with it. We just don't fellowship it. So our faith creates in us a clean heart. If you would turn to Acts 15. This is when all the disciples gathered in Jerusalem to discuss the Gentiles and their need for circumcision or not be circumcised in order to be a part of the kingdom. And listen to how this starts off in verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Did you get that? He's talking about Cornelius. When Peter went to Cornelius' house and preached to them, he saw the Holy Spirit come upon Gentiles just like He did them in Acts chapter 2. He said God made no distinction between the two groups, not two people, not two individuals, but the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. And he says their hearts have been purified by faith. Cornelius was a faithful man. He did the works that anyone could do. He just still needed to be saved. And Peter preached to him and his family and all that were gathered. And they were saved. They were baptized. Verse 48 of Acts chapter 10. Who would refuse water that these should not be baptized? Again, a rhetorical question. And they were baptized that night. You see, they were humble enough to come to God and say, "We want to be a part of Your kingdom. We want to be a part of Your church." And they did what they were commanded to do. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But that word, humility, that word, humble yourselves in the sight of God, a lot of people in the world cannot do that, so they cannot have that faith. If we cannot humble ourselves, we cannot purify our hearts, and we cannot approach the throne of God. Do you stop and think about that? Have you checked your humility level lately? It's something I just made up. Who has a humility level? We all should, shouldn't we? Make sure we're humbling ourselves. God's not going to humble us for us. For He may chastise us and try to wake us up, snap us out of it, but it's still ultimately our decision. We have to humble ourselves in order to approach God. So we need to have the knowledge that we need to create a clean heart in ourselves and then have a continual cleansing. This again, this point denies once saved, always saved. And we need to really consider it because the world lives by this. Christians must continue to cleanse their hearts of evil deeds. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. This is one of those familiar verses we've turned into a song and we have sang, but we need to accept the fact that Christians will continue to fall short. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, and He's talking to Christians, if we have no sin, let me rephrase that, if we haven't continued to sin, I'm not saying living in sin, but stumble and fall. If we're going to continue to live in sin, we can't be saved in the first place. But if we happen to sin, and we will, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God understands we're going to fall short. God understands that every once in a while we're going to stub our toes in the middle of the night. He understands that we're going to have to deal with these things, so He gives us an answer. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we follow suit, keep striving for perfection, when we do occasionally fall short, He will forgive us. Because our sins will weigh us down. Our sins will make us sick. Our sins will bother us like they bother God. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Can God lie? So can we make God a liar? No, we make ourselves a liar, don't we? By stating the obvious or going against the obvious. So we need to understand, we need to continue to deal with sin. Because we're going to get stained. And if we're not extremely careful, we will lose our souls over it. Treasure God's Word in your heart. If you would, turn to John 15. Listen to what He says here. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, and you will bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. But the words of Him have to abide in us. Not on us. I've had people that have had tattoos. I've known people that have had tattoos, Bible verses on their body. That's not in you. That's on you. I've seen people with bumper stickers with Bible verses on their cars. That's not in you. That's on your car. When the words of God abide in you, you will refuse sin no matter who asks. No matter who demands. People that you work with, work for, will ask you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. And you need to stand up and say, no, I cannot do it. I'm a Christian and Christians won't do these things. No matter what it costs you. Some people will buckle under the pressure if it's their job is at stake. Well, I was looking for a job when I found this one. That's something someone used to tell me all the time. I go out and find another one. So if I don't make so much money, big deal. If I got to start over, big deal. I've protected my heart. I've protected my soul. That needs to be the first and most important thing. Even above your marriage vows, even above raising your family, you need to protect your heart and your soul. And if you don't protect it, you won't be the proper example for everybody else around you. Because the dirt will get in. And it doesn't matter how hard you clean, you can't clean it yourself. You have to call in for help. So, Christians must have the right treasure in their heart. If you would look at Matthew chapter 12, and we'll draw this to a conclusion. Jesus teaches us stuff, and there's so many times we listen to what He says, but we hear it like our kids hear it. We don't really pay attention to what He says. Matthew 12, beginning in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. You don't pick oranges off an apple tree. It's never been done. If you've seen it on the internet, it's photoshopped, I guarantee you. Because God says it can't happen. Every tree is known by its own fruit. Brood of vipers, verse 34, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Okay, here's some people that have not humbled themselves, have not purified their hearts. They are evil. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers, they never spoke good things, did they? He's calling them out. He's saying, just like it is, you're a brood of vipers. You are evil. You cannot speak good. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the key to the whole lesson right there, isn't it? Protect your heart, cleanse your heart, purify your heart, because out of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. What's inside you is going to come out in some form or fashion where people will know, because Jesus also said a tree is known by its fruit. So there won't be any covering it up. He also said, be sure that your sins will find you out. You cannot cover it up. You can't hide it. You may fool some of the people some of the time, but you won't fool all the people all the time. It's that easy. Read on. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Evil can be a treasure. Have you thought about that? I don't really think about evil as being a treasure. I think of evil as being a temptation, something that we would desire. But if we have it, don't we treasure it? If we put it before God, don't we treasure it? We put evil in our hearts, we will treasure it. We put sin in our lives, we will protect it. Not protect our faith, not protect our souls. Verse 36, but I say to you, for every idle word a man may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. Idle word, profane word, useless word. Every single word. We're going to give an account of it. How many times have you heard children with foul mouths following after their parents? Imitating is the word I was looking for. There was one time my son Joshua, just learning to talk, and he said a very, very profane word. And I never talked like that in front of my son. I know my wife never talked like that in front of my... It scared me. But then he said, truck. There was a truck beside us. It just didn't come out right. And it's like, whew. God, I don't want my son talking like that. I didn't do that. Where did he get it? That was just an innocent mistake. But when we get to be adults,
We make the choice to say words like that. Every idle word, Jesus said, we'll give an account for. Every single one. I want to labor this point. Because sometimes we make off-color jokes. Sometimes we, you know, it's not really made for public. It's not really, you know, it's just kind of a joke. Or we see things on TV. We hear things on TV. One thing that I hate more than anything on TV is The Simpsons. Those children are vile. They are unruly. They control the family. And it's been the longest running cartoon on network TV. Why would you want to bring that into your house? Why would you want to see, or your children see, an example like that? They got t-shirts with the Simpson characters on, and they, all these other, and it's like, would you talk like that in front of your mom and dad? If you do, when I was that age, my mom and dad would have knocked me out. We have to understand every idle word, every single sin, every stupid thing that rolls through our minds, we'll have to give an account for. But God says if you're truly penitent, you can be forgiven. Isn't that the wonderful thing? Isn't that the greatest thing you can think of? Because God says, I love you and I want to keep you. So I'm going to give you the tools you need to make this work. So, the need for a clean heart is essential in serving God. If you want to be a Christian, you have to have a clean heart. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's as simple as that. And you just go and do what God has commanded, and your heart will be made clean. Your faith will be made strong. All Christians must seek a continual cleansing. There again, once saved, always saved. Once I'm saved, I can't do anything wrong. But Jesus said, one idle word will cost you your soul. Paul said to have all of your thoughts under His control. We're not going to be robotic dummies walking around. This is a difficult choice. A very difficult thing to do unless you have a very strong faith. And we should always be growing in faith and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. We never give up. So I ask you tonight, what's the condition of your heart? Are you protecting it? Or is the world playing with it? Satan will make you feel comfortable, at ease, to where sin will not weigh you down. We need to get back to where we were when we were converted and understand our sins are what is going to take us to hell. Simple as that. Solomon also said, in Ecclesiastes 12, not to wait. He says, you do this. When you're young, before the days get difficult, before you get worn down. That's a really bad paraphrase, but look it up in Ecclesiastes 12. He says the sooner you do it, the easier it's going to be. Don't wait for that 11th hour salvation. Don't wait and say, I can do it tomorrow. Don't put off, because the longer you wait, the more difficult it is, I guarantee you. Start the fight early. Start the training early. And you'll have a better life. We're going to offer the invitation. James tells us to draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. But we have to cleanse ourselves. We can't cleanse ourselves from our sins. But we can cleanse our heart and prepare our hearts. That's what John the Baptist did when he came preaching before Christ did. He was preparing the people. He was saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wants us to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts so that we can approach God. So that we can have the right spirit to approach God. If you need to do that this evening, we can help you with that. We can help you to come to God. We can study with you. We can pray for you. If the need arises, we can have you baptized. We do have places to go. We do have people that will open their buildings to us so that we can take care of this most important thing, the beginning of protecting your hearts. And don't give up. I've seen too many Christians give up. They have quit the fight. Do not quit the fight. God will forgive you as long as you are penitent. Peter said, how many times do I forgive my brother? 7 times in a day? God, no, he said 7 times 70. If you really think about it, there's not enough time in one day to offend somebody that many times. So it's not just a random number. It's the fact that God will forgive you as long as you're penitent. That was the only consideration. So if there's anything we can do for you this evening, come forward. Don't be scared. Don't be embarrassed. Come forward and let us help as we stand and sing the invitation song.